Message today, don't look back. Don't look back. We're going to start in Genesis. If you'll turn to Genesis. So many times, church, we stay so far in yesterday, we absolutely cannot enjoy what God has for us now. We stay stuck in past mistakes, and we stay stuck in past failures, and we stay stuck in even present circumstances that are keeping us from doing what God wants us to do. And we think that's where we're supposed to be. Because we've always done it that way doesn't mean we always should do it that way. Because we've always been that doesn't mean we always have to be that. Don't look back. Yes, we learn from our mistakes and we grow from things we've done, but to constantly let that be magnified in our lives, it keeps us pulled down. You know, there's we can let grief, we can let condemnation, we can let past failures, past mistakes, we can let all the what ifs and what if I had a done that, things would be different. As we know, me and Melanie talked about this last night, there's things you can't change. We can't go back and change something 5 years ago. We can't change it. We can't reverse it. It's done. And so the only thing we can do is move forward and say, God, I want to move forward from this point on. I don't want to keep living in the past and keep looking back and missing out on what God has for me today. Because God has great future plan. You know, some of you old timers, I'm not quite yet there. I'm getting there, but I'm not there yet. But some of you old timers, you talk about the good old days, right? The good old days. I rode in the back of a pickup truck and I survived, right? You know, I rode a bike with no helmet and I survived. All that stuff, and we did. But sometimes we get stuck so far back and looking at what was that there's great things and now what is. Think about this. Back when Kevin was growing up, there wasn't a Golden Corral. Aren't you glad there's a Golden Corral now? Praise God. There wasn't a Village Inn Pizza before the 60s, and now there is. Things evolve. Things keep going forth. Thank God we don't have to go back to, would any of you want to wake up with no electricity and no indoor plumbing and no bathroom inside your home? And that's the good old days. No running water, no electricity, horse and buggy. Hallelujah. No, thank God we got our cars and our plug-ins and our microwaves that we live off of. Thank God. Just don't stand too close while you're using it. Thank God for those things. We don't want to go back. But yet it seems the devil sometimes keeps us spiritually bound to where we're always looking back at all the mistakes and all the failures. And sometimes it's a mere fact of we're comfortable where we're at. We don't want to leave where we're at because we're in a comfortable zone. But God's got something more he wants to propel us into. But if we hang on to what's familiar, then it's safe. But we miss out on what God has waiting on us because we're so stuck in being in what I'm comfortable with, what I'm familiar with. I like when God brings us out of our box. It challenges us. It brings new things into our lives we wouldn't have any other way. It propels us into a new life that we wouldn't have if we didn't trust God for it. So don't get so caught up in the past that we can't enjoy what God has for us. This is Genesis 19:13. Before I read this, this is talking about Sodom and Gomorrah and the destruction of the city because of their sin. Now, if you remember before this, Abraham was called out by God. God called Abraham out. He says, Abraham, I'm calling you out of your country. Leave your family. Leave your kindred. Leave the place you are at because I have something better for you. I have something greater for you. That took a lot of faith by Abraham to leave what he was comfortable with in order to get what God had for him. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. The thing people don't like. And when I was a manager at Walmart, y'all hated this. Anytime change came. We're going to change it. We're going to do it this way. That's a stupid way. We've always done it this way. But then once you get doing a different way, you find out this ain't so bad once you get used to it. We don't like change because change forces us to face things we're not comfortable with. God had to get Abraham out of one place to get him to the right place. And sometimes God does that for our lives. He gets us out of the place we're in to get us to the place he wants us to be. And that transition can be very uncomfortable. And that transition can be very challenging. But if we'll trust God, he knows what he's doing. He's getting us from point A to point B on purpose for a divine purpose and a divine assignment that we would never be in otherwise. So Abraham was called out of his country. So he's, you know, God's called him to be the father of many nations. Now here's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. As God's going to destroy the city because of their sin. Verse 13. For we will destroy this place because the outcry against them has grown great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. The angels are talking to Abraham about God's assignment. So Lot went out, spoke to his son-in-laws, who had married his daughters, and said, "Get up and get out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But to his son-in-laws, he seemed to be joking. When the morning dawned, the angels urged Lot to hurry, saying, "Arise, take your wife, your two daughters who are here, lest you be consumed in the punishment of the city." And while he lingered, the men took hold of his hand, his wife's hand, and the hands of his daughters, the Lord being merciful to him, and they brought him out and set him outside the city. So it came to pass when they had brought them outside, he said, "Escape for your life. Do not look behind you, nor stay anywhere in the plain." He's given him a direction. Don't look back. Now, this story's been taught many ways. I tend to believe it's a little deeper than just her glancing backwards with her physical eyes. I think it was her heart did not want to leave the place she was in. And her desire was to remain where she was at. And the God gave her clear direction. Don't stay anywhere in the plain. I'm getting you out of the place you're in to set you up for a higher calling. But you've got to get out of this place. Many times our lifestyles or our world we live in or the things we desire keep us captive because we don't want to lose those things. I mean, I talk to people all the time and they say, "You know, Pastor, I know I probably need to be going to church, but you know what? I don't want to give up my drinking. I don't want to give up this. I kind of have these vices. I have these things. If I get in church, I got to give those up." We got to make a decision. Are we going to follow God and look ahead, or are we going to stay where we're at and be pulled down continually? Are we going to stay in the mire of our mud, or are we going to let God pull us out and plant our feet on a solid rock? We have to make a decision. Do I like what I have now more than what God has waiting on me? I don't know what God's got waiting on me, but it's a lot better than what you got now. That's a fact. That's truth. We know what God has waiting on us is much better than what we have now. Because even spiritually speaking, we know the glorification that's coming to God's saints is far greater than any life we have here. Because here we have problems and battles and struggles. We have pain and we have scars. We have grief. We have discouragement. We have fears. We have uncertainties. So we know what God has waiting on us in the future of the kingdom is much greater. So also we trust him here in the earth that what he has for us is greater. He wants more for us than what we even want for ourselves. See, God sees us as a father sees his child. As you see your children when they're being stupid and rebellious and dumb and making poor decisions, what you see is the potential of what they can become, the potential of what they really are. And if they could ever get their head wrapped around that I'm more than what I'm living, then they'll succeed. Church, we are more. We were born for more than to go through life trapped and shackled and enslaved by sin and set back by all the things in our lives. We were created for more than that. God has more, but we have to be willing to step out and not look back and not long for what we used to have, but embrace what we don't yet have. That's what faith is. Faith is seeing that which we don't see, but believing that it is. And that's what God has waiting on us. He gave very good instructions. Don't look behind you and don't stay anywhere in a plain, but escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed. Then Lot said, "Please know, my lords, indeed, now your servant has found favor in your sight. You have increased your mercy while you have shown me by saving my life. But I cannot escape to the mountains, lest some evil overtake me and I die. See now, this city is near enough to flee to, is a little one." So he was asking the angels if he could go to another nearby city and be okay. "Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live." And he said to him, "See, I have favored you concerning this thing, that I will not overthrow this city for which you have spoken." He's going to preserve the city. He's going to go there. "Hurry, escape there, for I cannot do anything." Look at this. "I can't do anything until you arrive there." That's a very profound statement, isn't it? I can't do anything until you arrive there. Sometimes we're praying, "God, why haven't you moved?" And God is saying, "Because you've not moved. God, why haven't you changed anything?" "My son, you've not changed anything. God, where are you at?" And God is saying, "I am here. but you are there. And that's why you don't see me. God can't do anything until we are where he is at. And I'm talking spiritually, where he is at. Strongholds are hard to break. Chains are hard to break. The demons of our heart are hard to get rid of. But with the help of God, with trusting him and surrendering fully to him, he is able to pull you out and set you free. Able to do that. But we got to be where he is at. Therefore, the name of that city was called Zoar. The sun had risen upon the earth when Lot entered Zoar. The morning had come, he was in a safe place. Then the Lord rained brimstone and fire on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew those cities, all the plain, all the inhabitants of the cities, and what grew on the ground. But his wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. The fire and brimstone consumed Lot's wife because her eyes could not look forward. Her eyes could not see what was ahead of her because her longing was still behind her. Church is kind of like, as a parent, you love your children, but we have to let our children go, don't we? That's hard. But we have to learn to let them go. If we keep seeing our child, if we keep seeing our 30-year-old son as that 10-year-old boy, then we miss out on all the benefits of having a 30-year-old son. All we see him as that little 10-year-old boy. He's not a little boy no more. He's a grown man. See, my mom has benefits of me now she didn't have when I was 10 years old. At 10 years old, she protected me. She fought for me. She provided my needs. The roles reversed to a degree. Now I can protect my mom. If I have to, I can meet her needs, I would hope. And I would fight to protect her. That's a great role to have. Yes, the 10-year-old boy years were great, especially for me. Whew, man, gosh, it was good. Being a kid was fun. Kids, stay. Like Adam Sandler said, don't go to high school. Stay little. Because I'm telling you, the more you grow up, the more it stinks. But you know what? I bet if mom had a choice now, without doubt, she would say, I'd rather have my grown son now than that little boy then. Because I bring a different benefit to her life. A different strength to her life. See, as a 10-year-old boy, the strength was, he's my son, he's my little boy, he's my little world. As a grown man now, it's like, he's my rock and he's my strength, and I know I can depend upon him. Sometimes we miss out on far greater things because we're stuck in yesterday. We're stuck back in yesterday, and we're missing out on what God has. See, God is still moving. The Holy Spirit is still alive. There is still a fresh new anointing. There is still mercies every day. There is still salvation every day. There is still blessing and favor every day. Even in our corrupt generation, God is still showing up, and God is still moving, and God is still healing. God's not a healer of just yesterday. God's a healer of right now, this day, 2016, through all the perversion and all the unbelief and all the darkness, the light of God is just as powerful today as it was when he walked the shores of Galilee. It's just as powerful. Let's stay focused on what God has for me today. God, I want what you got. I know I've got to leave where I'm at, and I can't keep looking back to what was. Because, church, what was is now. What was is not what is. Think about that. What was is not what is. So we have to say, God, show up today and let me focus on what you have for me right now. Lot's wife looked back and she perished because she longed more for what she had than what God had for her. This also comes to where we have to be spiritually minded. We talk about this all the time. We love to please our flesh. That's easy. That's why we eat the wrong foods and we have all the, you know, church, You know why people are alcoholics and they're drug addicts? It's because it gives them a high that makes their flesh, for however long, feel good. It appeals to their flesh, but their spirit is still broken. They are so empty inside and void of any kind of true comfort, because all of those things wear out, but the peace of God remains. The Bible talks about the peace of God remains. His presence remains. After the high is gone, after the initial act of pleasure is over, the peace of God still remains. It fills us inside. Don't look back. Go to the next scripture. This is in Luke chapter 9. This is Jesus talking. It happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, "Lord, I will follow you wherever you go." Sounds like us today, don't it? "Lord, I'll do whatever you want, except that." Next verse. And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds, the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." He was telling them, okay, you want to follow me? Get ready for a life of uncertainty. Get ready for a life that there's no guarantees. You're going to have to leave your comfort zone if you're really going to follow me. It's not going to be a 9-to-5 job. It's not going to be everything lined out in order for you. There's going to be some times of trouble. There's going to be some times you're going to have a lot of faith. There's going to be some times it's going to be fully trusting on me to even meet your daily needs. Do you really want that kind of life? Next verse, Brendan. Then he said to another, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." And let me explain this verse, just in case you don't really know what this is talking about. This verse, this guy is not asking. It's not like his dad is, you know, with hospice and got 3 days to live. He's talking about, my parents are older. Once they're gone off the earth, Lord, then I'll follow you. Once they're passed away, God, then I'll follow you. I love how we make excuses not to follow God, whatever reason that is. You know, I don't come to church, pastor, because, well, you know, I don't live right. Well, praise God, that's what the church is for. Hallelujah. We want all the bad sinners here. Hallelujah. I don't want no righteous church. I want a sinner church that knows the righteousness of Christ. That's what we want. I will come to church, but you know what? I got a problem on Saturday night. Sober up in time and just come to church. Just walk in the doors and just get here. Don't use no excuse. You know, I would follow God, but I'm just so confused. There's so many messages. Just hear from God. Church, just hear from God. Follow me, but I'll go bury my father. And look what Jesus' response is. Sounds kind of harsh, actually. Next verse. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God." That sounds cold. You don't care about my pops, Jesus? That's not what he's saying. He's saying, look, let the spiritually dead, they're dead, but I've got people who's going to hear life. And I need you to follow me so they can hear that life and be changed. Don't wait. Don't keep staying in the past. Don't look back at what you got to, the bits you got to handle, but look ahead at what I want you to handle. Quit looking back at what you've got holding you back and look ahead to what I have waiting on you. Then he goes on to say this. Another said, "Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house." Jesus said, "No one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." God wants our heart. He wants all of us. He don't want us on the fence, church. He don't want one foot in and one foot out. He don't want us serving him conditionally. Aren't you glad that God's grace is not conditional? Think about that. Oh, I struck a nerve. There are some religious folks. Think about this. His grace ain't conditional. His grace covers everything. His grace isn't based on whether I mess up today or tomorrow. His grace reminds me that's why it's grace. I love you. If you act ugly, I still love you. If you don't pray to me, I still love you. If you don't read your word, I still love you. If you don't talk to me much, I still love you. God's salvation plan was not based on our conditional response. It was based to pay the price of sin. Now, salvation absolutely is based on our response to that, of course. But he didn't die based on how we would live after that. He died to pay the price of sin, and that grace continues to cover us. And he doesn't love us based on how we behave, just like your children. Church, it's so, if we could tie this in, it's so simple. Your natural children are the closest, most intimate love, I guess, you have in the earth is your children. A mother's son, a mother's daughter, a father's son, a father's daughter. Your children you love. No matter how they act, you love them. If Michael called you and said, "Mom, come get me. Where are you at? I'm locked up." After Stacy would half beat him to the end of his life, she would say, "I love you. I'm mad at you. And boy, you go get it. But I love you. You broke my heart, but I love you. I'm disappointed, but I love you." Church, that love, God wants us to love him, not based on conditions. Is God answering my prayers? I'll love him. Is God moving? I'll love him. Is God doing what I pray? Is he a magic genie? Boom, 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 blink my eyes. God ain't doing it, so I ain't going to serve him. God is saying, I need people. I desire people who will sell out and follow me fully and trust me through the valleys and through the mountains, through the dark times and through the good times. Trust me. There's a lot of dark times in our journey, church. There's a lot of dark seasons we don't like. There's a lot of grief. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of discouragement that continually attacks our lives. But do we trust God through it all? He said, if you're not going to trust me, you're really not part of my kingdom. You're not fit for it. If you're not going to trust me, if you're not going to follow me, if you're not going to really give all to me. God wants our hearts. You know, someone was talking the other day about praying and said, talked to him yesterday about praying and what the Bible says about, you know, if you pray in front of a group of people, don't pray like the Pharisees. And people get that verse misunderstood. It's okay to pray for the church. What Jesus is saying is we don't pray just to be seen. We don't pray to show off. We don't pray as a religious thing just to do what we do. We pray from the heart. Anytime we pray from the heart, church, it's right. When we pray from the heart. Go to the next scripture. Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I love this verse. Who for the joy that was set before him. Jesus was looking ahead, not behind. He wasn't looking at the pain of the crucifixion as much as he was looking at what he would have because of it. The joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the Father. Jesus looked ahead, and the joy he saw before him outweighed the pain he was going through now. He went out of his comfort zone by going to the cross, realizing what that would birth. We know, or you women know, had a kid, that birth is painful. To have a child brings physical pain. And they say that sometimes the closest to death a woman can come is through birth. Think about how much pain right before the birth you have as a woman. And you're going through that, and you're, you know, for 9 months you have mood swings, and you have sometimes morning sickness, and you can't sleep at night, and the baby's on the nerve or pinching this or kicking this, and, you know, you're just, you get weird for a few months. You crave weird things all the time. And you're like, you're carrying that weight around. It's August, it's 95 degrees, and you're hot, and you're sweaty, and you're tired, and you're antsy, and you're ill, and you're so ready for this kid to come. And then all of a sudden, the moment comes, and you hear the, ah! It's like a billy goat, I'm sorry. Michael's like, what was that? That's not how my kid sounded. But anyway, you hear, the mother hears that cry. And all of a sudden, I mean, all of a sudden, the pains remember no more. They're holding that precious child. And when they hold that child, what they have birthed so outweighs the past 9 months of suffering. I've got me a child. Wow. I'm holding this child in my arms. What I carried for 9 months that was on my last nerve, literally, is now in my arms. And that pain is no longer remembered because all you see is the beauty of what the birth gave. Spiritually speaking, I know it's hard to leave our comfort zone. It's hard to leave our comfort zone. But when we do, God has a greater thing for us. Quit looking back at what was and start embracing what is. It's okay to reminisce, church. We have our memories. That's a beautiful thing. We have our memories. But God is speaking today. What if we're missing out on what God is saying today because we're still stuck on what the devil said yesterday? Paul said this in Philippians 3:13. He says, I've not apprehended a lot of things, but one thing I have apprehended is I am going to forget all of those things which are behind me, and I want to look for those things which are before me. God, there's a future waiting on us. Don't get stuck in the past. You can't ever enjoy your future. Some of the Facebook posts I see, people are miserable. All they live for is to grouch and complain. No, church, the more you complain, the more miserable you're going to be. Remember Sesame Street? The grouch? Living the trash can, the green thing? Always, get out of the trash can. I mean, goodness. Oscar, yeah. Oscar the Grouch. Live in a trash can. Always day. Then back in the trash. Never get out of the trash can. Be a big bird. Hey, boys and girls. You know, be happy. I mean, if you're a grouch all the time, guess what? Your life's going to be miserable. I know you've had a hard life. Things have happened. Church, we all have. Believe me. We all have. If me and Melanie could be completely 100% transparent, your stories would make some of you cry right now. We all got things we're going through. We've all got deep battles. But there's no use in keep looking at how someone hurt us or how someone let us down. Maybe you let them down. Have you thought about that? Maybe you've hurt them and have forgotten that you've hurt them. So let's move forward and say, God, I want to erase the slate and have a brand new start. I want to have a clean slate. I want a do-over. And that can start any moment. God, I want a do-over. I'm going to start today looking ahead. What have you got for me? There's so many beautiful things still in store for us, church. So many beautiful things in store for us. Don't get caught up in the world dragging you down. We are the people of God. We have a promise. We have a hope. We have a glory. And all the hell on earth cannot take away or eradicate what Jesus has already done. The blood has been spilt. It can't be unspilt. The cross has been lifted up. It can't be unlifted up. The tomb has been emptied. It can't be refilled. Do you hear me? God is risen forevermore, and we are alive evermore because of that. There's something to be happy about. Glory to God. We're going to pray this morning before we close about Tuesday. We know it's a very pivotal time in our nation, Tuesday. There is a lot of mixed emotions. I shared a little funny video this morning to try to lighten the humor. I don't know if you saw it or not. It's a Beverly Hillbillies episode where Granny's talking about the election. Pretty funny. She took a little potion. She said the Democrats and Republicans are both crazy. So watch, it's they had a little humor. But here's what we need to be focused on. And I want to pray this morning that God's will is done for this nation Tuesday. There is no use, church, in us getting so riled, because I do see this happening. I really do. I believe this will not be a peaceful election. I think there's going to be an uprising, especially on one side. There could be a major uprising in this country. And we need to pray that the peace of God cover us and the favor and grace of God keep us. The only thing we can do is cast our vote, and the rest we give to God. God, it's in your hands. And Lord, whatever happens, I will trust you and I will lift your name above all names still. And I will trust that you know what you're doing. It's a very angry, volatile time right now. So I want to do that in closing, or before we close. Father, we stand before you today in this sanctuary. Lord, we are privileged to live in this country. We know there are many problems with our country, Lord. There are many things that we all want to fix and change, and it's not by far a perfect nation, but you are a perfect God. We are not here, Lord, by accident. We are here by divine appointment. God, we get to enjoy so many benefits. We are still so much more free than any other country on the world, God, and we have so many blessings. Lord, we throw away food. We throw away water. God, we waste so many resources because we have an abundance of all of those things. And God, we are thankful that we are here. We are thankful for the men and women who have suffered and died and gave their lives and served for these last several hundred years to ensure where we are today. Thank you, God, for those people who stood in the gap. Lord, you are the God of this nation. You are above all. That flag waves only because your hand caused it to wave. And we thank you that your providence is over this nation. We pray, God, as Tuesday night comes into existence, as the votes begin to rally in, God, give us the peace and the grace and the strength and the wisdom and the understanding, Lord, to accept what is Tuesday night. We can only do our part, but the rest is governed by your hand. Your word says all the powers to be are ordained by you. Let us trust you, God. I pray for peace for this nation, safety for this nation, and that your light and your glory shine above any confusion or any violence, that they see you first, God. We put this election, Lord, in your hands. Guide it and use it, God, and we will trust you and let your will be done in the name of Jesus. Amen.